This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We testify with firmness, with conviction, with strength of faith that none is worthy of worship other than Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continually remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal, the consciousness and the awareness of Allah the Most High, to the capacity that He is deserving of us. And I invite myself and you to live a life that is adjusted in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, willfully and intentionally, so that when we return to Him, we find better than what we have received in our worldly life. And this has been the aim of those who have come before us, and we pray that it remains so for the generations that we bring forward into this worldly life as part of our progeny and our heritage. Allahumma ameen. It's my pleasure once again to join my brothers at the Abu Huraira Center. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the short time that we spend with each other in these few minutes before Salatul Isha, that they are moments of rahmah. And that the tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sakina descends upon us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions us with those better than we mention Him with, azza wa jal. Challenges. Challenges seems like a contentious way to start a talk. And you've had two, alhamdulillah, well-versed speakers before me speak about some of the challenges, especially for our younger generations, young Muslims living here in Toronto, in Canada. And I want to really take more of a spiritual perspective. And the challenges that you face today really are the similar challenges that were experienced even by those who were better than us, even the Sahaba. One of the problems, and I think one of the challenges that we experience is when we open a book, Rahiq al-Makhtum, or you open a book of Seerah or Hadith, and you read names of these amazing people, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who this center is named after, a man who accounted hundreds, thousands of Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're in awe, mesmerized. You hear about Umar radiallahu anhu ardah, Khalid ibn al-Walid, Saifullah, the sword of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Hamza, Ali, radiallahu anhu, ibn Abi Talib. Aisha, Fatima, radiallahu anhun. You hear of these names, and it's almost as if they're, you know, they're legendary, mythical individuals. And what we sometimes forget is that each and every one of the Sahaba struggled with faith. There came points in their time, in their life, coming to faith was a hurdle. When you think of Umar, as well, radiallahu anhu, as he came to a point to accept faith. He had to choose Allah or his family, Allah or his society, Allah or his people. It was a heavy decision. And we know, you know, we have this, we're always told the story, Umar read Surah Taha. He walked into his sister's home, he hit her, he was hurting her husband. And, you know, they read Surah Taha, Khabbab was hiding, and Allah opened his heart, he became Muslim. La! This is a short section of the transition of Umar radiallahu anhu coming to faith. There were moments when Umar was sitting in Darun Nadwa, the councilman's area, and all these big people of Quraysh sat. Al-Nadr ibn al-Harith, Abu al-Hakam ibn Hisham, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, Suhail ibn Amr, they're sitting there. Umar radiallahu anhu. And they're debating. Hajj is coming. We don't want anyone to know and hear the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What are we going to do? What do we say to the people to stop them from meeting this man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Some of them said, huwa sahir. He's a magician. So Umar interjects, because Umar radiallahu anhu, he always had the personality of justice. He said, ma huwa bisahir. He's not a magician. Wala bikahin. قَدْ عَرِفْنَا السَّحَرَ يَنْفُثُونَ. We know how they tie knots and make incantations and put, you know, chemicals. And he's not that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالُوا بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرٌ. Then he's a poet. قَالْ قَدْ تَعَلَّمْنَا الشِّعْرِ. We learned poetry. We've memorized it. His rijt, and we know its beginning to its end. مَا هُوَ بِشِعْرٌ وَلَا هُوَ بِشَاعِرٌ. So what do you want us to say, Ya Umar? Doesn't answer. He's defending the Prophet ﷺ not out of faith, but out of a sense of justice. So Allah reveals the end of Surah Al-Haqqa. This is the first moment that Umar now is going to pay attention to the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Umar through the revelation of Surah Al-Haqqa. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. He is not a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Can you please move your car? License plate, AZPB402. It's a Pontiac Vibe, inshallah. All right? So Umar is hearing this khitab. He's walking by, all of a sudden, the Prophet ﷺ near the Kaaba, he receives revelation and recites these ayat, and who hears it? Umar. Everything that they were hearing is speaking to him. Allahu Akbar. Does Umar say, oh, this is my Quran. I have to believe now. I was defending him and now it's the truth. No. He goes home angry. How could I defend him? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How? I'm going to kill him. Why does Umar want to kill the Prophet? Not anger. Umar wants to do it out of honor. He says, رَجُلًا بِرَجُلٍ. If I kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're going to kill me. I'm willing to die for my people. So I'm going to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I'm going to go to his tribe and say, here I am, kill me. And let this fitna end. I want everyone to be happy. This was Umar radiallahu anhu. And on his way, then the story of his sister begins, Fatima. There was a struggle, a battle within himself, learning, desiring the truth. What's the difference between the moment Umar hears the ayat in Surah Taha, which are not to him? They're not for him directly. And the ayat of Surah Al-Haqqa, which were for him and that incident. Why were those verses that are about him, that he heard, that he knew, and should recognize, why doesn't he believe? And Surah Taha, which are not about him, not direct to him, he believes. This is the first challenge that faces you and I today. We are disconnected from the Qur'an. You say, Brother Yahya, I memorized the Qur'an. That's good. It's not about how much you know. Brother Yahya, I go to Duksi. I do Subur. I read the Qur'an often. My parents teach me. Disconnect from the Qur'an is that the heart doesn't receive it. Now I want you to hear this ayah in Surah Qaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ. Allah makes a vow. Surely this Qur'an is a reminder. لِمَن. It is only for the only one who will receive its benefit. لِمَن كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. To the one who has a heart. All of us have hearts that's beating, circulatory. قَلْب is speaking about this proverbial spiritual heart. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Or to the one who throws an ear at it, meaning gives it undivided attention while assuming its truthfulness. Not critical, wanting to find dissonance and disturbance in it. Those three conditions open your heart to receive the Qur'an. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ says, and we see this in our ummah today and in the times before us and will remain in our ummah. In our ummah there's a disease. What is this disease? That there are people who recite the Qur'an, يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. But the Qur'an doesn't go through their throat. Doesn't pass through their throat. Meaning it doesn't come down to their heart. The Prophet describes that there will be people, كما روى الإمام البخاري, تحقرون صلاتكم بصلاتهم. There will be people when you see them pray, the way they look, the way they're dressed, the way they're humble, the way they cry, the way they appear. If you see them and see how they pray and how often they pray, and the magnificence of the outer shell of prayer, you're going to look at them so humble, you're going to look and compare your prayer to them, and you're going to think you're lost. You're going to say, look at how they pray. What I'm doing is nothing. وَتَحْتَقِرُونَ صِيَامَكُمْ بِصِيَامِهِمْ. And you're going to see their fasting and compare your fast, and you're going to think you're lost. But you're better than them. Why? It's not by the outer salah. It's not by the days of fasting. It's by the heart, qalb. When the heart is not connected to the Qur'an, you find what we see in our ummah today. How do I know you're not connected to the Qur'an? Here, I have Arab here, we have Arabs. I don't mean to embarrass anyone. I can say to someone who was born Arab, I say to him, tell me, ya akhi, what does وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ mean? Allah, ma'arafsh. I don't know. Why don't you know? يعني كلام كبير. It's big words. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ. Allahu Akbar. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَ. Hey, what is it? Leave that. Let's look at something else. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرِ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. What does it mean? يعني something. No. Leave the Arab. You're going to say, brother, I'm not Arab. I am Pakistani. Ana Somali. I am Guyanese. I'm Canadian. I don't know this language. I'm going to say, you've learned inna a'tainaka al-ka'thar, the shortest surah in the Quran, three verses. You never thought to understand its meaning? How often do we stand in salah and say, not someone leads us, but I'm leading myself. So what surah do I choose? The one I know best. So I stand and I say, what do I say? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Easy. قُلْ إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. The short surahs. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَعَ. What does this mean? Why don't you know? 5-10 verses. You couldn't open the Qur'an in your mother language that you do understand and understand it better? Why? Because your heart is not attached to the Quran. So who do you blame? You blame others. You say the sheikhs are they're giving talks and we're not improving as a community. The Quran seeks you, wants you. But you have to want it. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ said, as Al-Imam Muslim reports, the Quran أشد شيئا تفلتا. The Quran is the quickest thing to leave your hand. It's like a camel that in the middle of the desert, if you lose it, you're going to go thirsty. You're going to go hungry. You're not going to have a ride out of that hot, airy desert. You have to hold on to it. And if you let go of the Quran, it's gone. So that's the first challenge. We have disconnected from the Quran. Allah tells you, the reason of the Quran, لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, that they recount and seek to learn and to remind and revive and put into practice its verses. This is the intent of the Quran. Second challenge is that Tawheed, our belief, at times is not a part of our religious study. There's a haqiqa to Tawheed. When you say La ilaha illallah, the word itself has gravity. The mushrikeen, they understood the gravity of the word, what it would entail, that to say it, it wasn't just something you say and pass along. Tawheed begins, there are seven shurut, categories, prerequisites to sincere true belief in Allah. The first of them is ilm, knowledge. Our purpose here today is to begin with that knowledge. فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Have certain knowledge that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. Second to knowledge is yaqeen, certainty. When you become certain of what you know, it's no longer just information, but it's practiced knowledge. The difference between people who have gathered statements about Islam and the Quran, and they have a book in their bookshelf that's called the Quran, and the one who reads it out of certainty of belief in it, is for one person it's information, for another it's a document of life. Ilm wa yaqeen. After certainty, there is acceptance, qabool. You have to accept ramifications in it. I've learned something. I know it's the truth. Now I have to accept. Accepting, I might not be able to do everything, but I accept it for what it is. I don't want to alter it. I don't want to dilute it. I don't want to go blind to one section of it and amplify one part more than the other. No. I accept it. Fourth, inqiyad, submit. And therefore when you submit, it comes after you've accepted. Your submission to it is an intentional pursuit of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The part of tawheed that at times we miss is we say la ilaha illallah, we learn, yes, I know there is Jannah, I want to be a part of it, I believe in the Quran. Oh, I can't do this, brother. It's not, inshallah, I will try to do this. No, I can't do this. We can't do this. There has to be that element of acceptance. Putting your head down to the will and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statements of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That has to be done with sidq. You have to do that, brother. I have to do that. Truthfully, between me and Allah. So I don't wear hijab, not me. But you don't wear hijab because your father. You don't learn and come to Quran school because your mother said you have to. No. It is sidq, truthfulness to Allah. And that truthfulness leads to sincerity, ikhlas. See, this is the progression of iman. This is what Umar passed through. He was learning. He became certain of it. It's the truth. I'm going to have to accept it at some point. Okay, I accept it's the truth inside me. Now I have to submit to it. Internally and publicly. Now I have to be truthful in it. It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now it becomes ikhlas. Truthfulness within the self leads a person to having sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what the final level of tawheed is? The final category? It's love. Mahabba. You begin to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are attached to Allah because of love. You love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you do not believe, you do not have complete faith until he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is more loved by you than your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. You love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than the dunya, more than anything. Can you say that in your heart? Can you look yourself in the mirror? Don't answer me. Look yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself. Look at your heart. And can you say that you have lived a life and are living a life that demonstrates that you love and prefer Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to any other living being other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. Challenge. It's a challenge. It's the same challenge of those who came before us. Third and final challenge due to brevity of time is, who do I follow? What do I listen to? It's difficult. There's so many opinions. There's so many learned people. There's so many influences. How do I find the way? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he makes it really simple. And I know you would say, Brother Yahya, it's oversimplified to say this, but this is the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, as final legacy of his life, he says, hold on to the book of Allah and my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, meaning the agreement of the Sahaba, the things they agreed on in principle that they were sure of. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. Bite onto it with your teeth, molar teeth. Don't let it go. How do I do that here in Toronto, now, in this day and age? What does this mean? What do I know about the Sunnah? The Sunnah, my dear brothers and sisters, is the easiest way of life. I want you to consider this. Never was the Prophet ﷺ given a choice between two things that are halal, except he chose easiest. Always, when it comes to that which is halal, choose the easiest. It's halal. The easiest course. Some Sahaba, they would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, one of the great worshippers of our faith at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was a young man. And he would look at the Prophet ﷺ's prayer and his habits, and it's almost as if he thought, I can do a lot more. So he said, and amongst him, two other people, they said, and the hadith is in Bukhari, I will not sleep at night, every night I will pray. Another one said, every day from morning till Maghrib, I will fast. Another one said, I don't have time to get married, I'm going to have to get a job and an income, how am I going to take care of them? No, I need to worship Allah, I'm never going to get married. The Prophet heard this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, no, bring them. Tuni bihim. He says, inni asum wa uftir. I fast and I break my fast. Wa usalli wa anam. I pray and I sleep. Wa tazawajtu min an-nisa, and I've married from your women, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. The one who leaves my sunnah, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Can't be from me. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah wishes for you ease. So what do we mean when we say who to follow? Follow those who lead you by the word of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just say you come to me and you ask me a question. Now I'm not a mufti. I might have heard your question before and read about it, and I give you an answer from what someone before me has said. You don't like it. You don't like what I said. Is that a problem? What do you think? What does the word fatwa mean? Opinion. Allahu Akbar. Barakallahu feek. It is opinion. It's for a teacher, for a scholar, it is studied opinion, expert opinion. But at the end of the day, it is an opinion. Another expert may have another opinion. No problem. The moment you blind yourself to anyone else's opinion and remove the possibility that it could have truth, you have gone overboard. You've gone to the extreme. That's extremism. You can't have that. You can't be inflexible in that sense. La. You ask someone and it settles in your heart and you accept it. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer, you said, that makes sense, mashallah. The brother gave adillah, he gave, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, and the Qur'an says, and the hadith says, okay. You see someone doing something contrary to what you know, and you speak to them and they say, listen, I've asked about this, I'm happy with what I'm doing as well. Is it a point of dissension? Can you now say, astaghfirullah, this person, I can't follow this man. I can't be with this man. Is it a point of separation? La wallah. Consider. Remember how I began by saying that there were legends, there are legends for us in Islam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. You know Umar ibn al-Khattab, jazakallah khair. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he became the Khalifa, do you know what he asked Abu Hurairah to stop doing? Umar said to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, do not narrate any more hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What? What are you talking about, Brother Yahya? We have to spread the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, we have to. This is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. How could Umar radiallahu anhu say to him, don't narrate any more hadith? He did. Why? Because there were ignorant people who were coming to Islam, who were beginning to learn what? One hadith here, one hadith here, one hadith here, and were not learning it through the practice of the Sahaba. So the Prophet said to Abu Hurairah, don't narrate any more hadith. The Prophet sends Abu Hurairah as a governor. It's not because Umar sends Abu Hurairah as a governor. It's not because Umar felt Abu Hurairah is dishonest. No, he entrusted him as a ruler. And when he visits him, he says to him, are you narrating the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? He says, no. Because, قَدْ أَمَرْتَنِي بِذَلِكَ يَا خَلِيفَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You told me not to. وَلَكِنَّكَ إِذَا مِتْ. But by Allah, the day you die, سَيَنْطَلِقُ لِسَانِي بِحَدِيثِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The day you pass away, my tongue will be loose to speak the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning Abu Hurairah felt that ijtihad of Umar was wrong. Did he follow him? He obeyed. Even in the hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes. See, these are foundational moments in the history of Islam. These are things that at times we don't see and we don't perceive. That there are moments of sensitivity, there are moments where we need to take pause, there are moments we need to reflect on the condition of the ummah. What's best for my community? What's best for my masjid? What's best for my family? What's best for my mother or my sister or my brother? It may not be what's appropriate for the next door neighbor, but for my family, this is what is right. And that is balance. I wish to end with speaking about balance.
When we say someone is balanced or something is balanced, we mean one of three things. All right, brothers? If this is balancing on my hand, it's in the center, right? It can't be balanced, it's like this. It'll fall off. There's no balance. It's got to be in the middle. And this is what Allah means where He calls our ummah, ummatan wasata. Ummatan wasata, it means balanced ummah. We don't go this way and we don't go that way. The second meaning of balance is that when what's underneath it is shaky, it doesn't fall. It's balanced that if it's shaky, it remains firm in fitna. The third meaning of balance is that whatever I put into something, I don't try to take more out of it. Those are the three categories of balance. Let us look at how Allah speaks about them in the Quran. Every day you pray to Allah, 17 times a day you make dua that Allah makes you balanced. You say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, lead us to the sirat that is mustaqim. The word sirat in Arabic, if I was to tell me about the sirat over Jahannam. How did the Prophet describe it? He said it's a long bridge that is very thin over Jahannam. Meaning, the one who doesn't have balance on it is going to fall. So the dunya has a sirat, which is also thin. The sirat in for us in our dunya is the Qur'an and the sunnah. The moment you go off the road of the Qur'an and the sunnah, you are not balanced. If you go too much salah, too much siyam, no, I'm not going to get married, unbalanced. You're not fit. If you say, I'll pray sometimes, I can't leave work for Jumu'ah, hijab is too tough, you are not balanced. Sirat. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. The second type of balance is in a moment of precarious situation. Something bad happens. A death in the family. An illness strikes you. A loss of a job. A loss of wealth. How does a person react? Shows his balance in his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore a person asks Allah, look at the dua of those who were always in conflict. They would say even before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Dawood and the people who are about to face Jalut, Goliath, they make the dua, Allahumma afrigh alayna sabran wa thabbit, make our foot firm. The ground is shaking. There's difficulty. People don't, you know, it's a difficult life. I'm not liked at work. If I ask for time for a dhuhr prayer, it's precarious. No, be firm. Thabbit. That firmness is part of balance. The third is that you're taking credit. You're asking for things all the time. But if you're not filling and putting back and you keep taking, then you are negligent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot, my dear brother, my dear sister in Islam, keep asking, wanting, and you are not crediting and putting towards others. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِي أَحَبُّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ is more loved. The strong believer in body, in mind, in wealth, in health, in intellect, in education, Allah loves them more than a believer who's weaker than them in that sense. Balance is that you have to work hard. You have to endeavor. You have to pray. You have to fast. It's not just put my hand up and say, oh Allah, give me, and I sit waiting. The Prophet would say, Ya Rab, and go out and earn what he has sought. Consider the day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the time the nida, the call of the pride of prayer comes, fas'aw, run, hurry to the remembrance of Allah. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, leave off your work, buying and selling, which is the nature of work. That's better for you, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, when salah has finished, you would think Allah would say, go back to buying and selling. No, what does Allah say? فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ. Go all over the earth. Don't just buy and sell. Go up high, down low, right, left. Go everywhere you can to earn the rizq. That's, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the mubalagha. Allah doesn't say, oh, okay, you left work, go back to work. No, go and try to earn the dunya. Because you fulfilled the remembrance of Allah, go out, Allah will support you. And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he teaches us about crediting ourselves. Part of the credit that we give is إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, as Allah says in the Quran, good deeds eliminate bad deeds. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for with istighfar and you turn to Allah in repentance, Allah opens the heavens to rain down rizq upon you. Nuh alayhi salam says, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ يَا قَوْمِ استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. Make استغفار. He is the one who is most forgiving and will accept it. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. Allah will open the heavens, bring down its barakah. He will give you strength in wealth and children, give you gardens and rivers of delight. Challenges that we face. Attachment to the Qur'an, it's not just reading, it's understanding, it's putting into practice, it's living, it's assuming it is the truth, is desiring the Qur'an more than anything else in life. Challenges, who do I follow, who do I listen to? Lead and be led by the word of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seek those who lead you to that way. But don't be attached to one man, one person, one opinion, one masjid, one group, one culture, one tribe. La. Seek the good with everyone. Find the good in others. Third, balance. Be upright. We say, I want to be mustaqim, upright. What does that mean? It means I'm not leaning one way or the other way. When we say in salah, istaqimu, it means be straight, be balanced. Don't be leaning one way or another. Turn towards Allah as a solidified block. I leave you with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam, after Musa makes an eloquent dua, he says, قَالَ رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. O Allah, open my chest, meaning, let my heart be prepared for this mission. Give me strength of firmness of conviction and heart. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, meaning he's making dua for Fir'aun. O Allah, make easy my task, meaning soften Fir'aun to receive this message. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, and release one tie from the ties of my tongue. Musa alayhi salam كان له ردة, يعني his tongue was held, محبوس اللسان. He would stutter and stammer when he spoke. And this was something that even in the grandchildren of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Husayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would see Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu stuttering like this, the Prophet would smile and say, وَرِسَهَا عَنْ عَمُّهُ مُوسَى. He inherited this from his uncle Musa alayhi salam. He says, O Allah, tie one tie, don't cure me. When you ask for the dunya, don't ask for everything. Don't make, Allahumma la taj'al mablagha ham, the dunya, that it's the concern of our heart. He says, O Allah, release my tongue only when I'm meeting Fir'aun. Otherwise, keep it. I'm happy to bear this illness. عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. I only ask this Allah so they can understand me. Not to make me feel better or to feel better about myself. وَجَعَلِّي وَزِيرًا مِّن أَهْلِي. Make a person, my assistant from my family, هَارُونَ أَخِي. After this dua, Allah says, قَدْ أُوْتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa asked for many, 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 many things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give you what you asked for, singular. Why? Allah wants you to ask Him everything. Ask. Turn to Allah and ask. Beg of Allah day and night. هو الغني. He is beyond need. And He will treat all your requests as one request. Ask. سُؤْلَكَ. Your one request, Ya Musa. And this is a way of the generous honoring the one needing generosity. When someone you give favor to, you don't seek to debase them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us by answering our dua. No, my dear brother in al-Islam, my dear sister in al-Islam, Allah is closer to you than your own jugular. With His knowledge, with His power, with His authority, with His ability, with the change He can bring in your life, in your family's life, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest challenge you have is submitting to Allah and acknowledging your need of Him. Acknowledge Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say and would make dua, O Allah, I put my forehead in your hand. Now siyati biyadik. Your qada, your fate that descends upon me is accepted. I turn to you, O Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the love of the Quran. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us from the Quran the things that we do not know. And to help us remember from the Qur'an the things that we have been led to forget. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the light of the Qur'an in our eyes and in our hearts. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our homes with the recitation of the Qur'an. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those who recite the Qur'an by night and practice it by day. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills us with love for His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send our prayers of peace upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen innaka hamidun majid. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.